Okay, we're looking in our Bible now at Luke chapter 11, and I want to bring the message from what the Lord says here in verse 33, verse 34, 35, and 36, these few verses here. And I'm taking the title for the message from what the Lord declares in verse 34, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, the whole body is full of light." When your eye is healthy and single, it's full of light. "But when thy eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness." If your eye is diseased and does not work, your body is full of darkness. So the title of the message is going to be "A Single Eye or an Evil Eye." A single eye or an evil eye. We either have one or the other. We are born by nature with an evil eye, a diseased eye, an eye that is blind, diseased, and dead in sin. We only have a single eye, a healthy eye, that sees the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of His grace, by the power of God. This is the single eye, a seeing eye, which is always and only looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a single eye, single-eyed faith looks only to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only object of saving faith. Our Lord said, "Look unto me and be ye saved. I am God and there is none else." Saving faith always looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I must add this, alone, for all of salvation, saving faith looks to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. For all saving faith, He is the author and finisher of our faith. If we have a single eye, the eye of faith, it's because He gave us life in Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was and is the master teacher, using earthly objects to teach spiritual truth, spiritual lesson, plain, simple lesson to teach profound and weighty truth. Such is the case in these verses before us today. The Lord talks about, He said, "I am the door. If you would enter in to heaven's glory, you must come by me." The Lord talks about the sower went forth to plant the seed. And we know that sower is the Lord Jesus Christ who plants the seed of life. Now, look at verse 33. Luke 11, verse 33. "Christ is the light set upon the candlestick in this world." Now, I believe verse 33, the Lord is describing Himself, describing His ministry. "No man, when he lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, nor does he put it under a bushel." He doesn't hide it, but he puts it on a candlestick that everyone may see the light. Now, when you think of light, or you think of the sun, S-U-N, or the brilliant light of any light that radiates from the sun, you must think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Remember in 1 John, it says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness whatsoever. He is all light. The Lord Jesus Christ is that light that's come into this dark world that He might shine forth. And that's what we do in the preaching of the gospel. We hold up Christ, who is the light, and we put Him on a candlestick and we say, "Here is salvation. Christ is the light." The Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to shine out the gospel of God's grace to the guilty. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God sent Him forth, and then He shows Him forth in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as He preaches salvation in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to shine out to lost sinners that He is the only way of salvation. And this is what He declared unto us. Turn back to Luke chapter 4. Remember this verse in our study from verse 18. Luke 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To shine forth. To shine forth. And He does that by the way of preaching the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He shines forth to the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance. To shine forth as the only deliverer to the captives. And recovering of sight to the blind. You see, He is light. By nature, we're blind. By nature, we have nothing but an evil eye. And to set at liberty those that are bruised. To preach or to set forth the acceptable year of the Lord. Liberty we have in Christ Jesus. He was sent by the Father to shine out to lost sinners that He is the only way of salvation. There is salvation in no other. Be sure you understand this. There is salvation in no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. He said, no man come to the Father but by and through me. Neither is there salvation in any other but the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 8:12, the Lord says this, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me, his sheep hear his voice and follow him. Those who follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We have the light of life. Salvation in Christ alone. Christ is that light set up in this world, but men are so dead and so depraved that they cannot see the light of life when it's right in front of their face. So dead, so depraved, that light can be standing right in front of them and they see nothing but evil. Now we've seen an example of that in this chapter. Remember in Luke chapter 11, verse 14? Here's an example of that. Here's some men that had nothing but an evil eye. You see verse 14, Luke 11? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb man spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, now here's the evil eye. He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Show us a sign. Here is light and life standing right before these men. And they said, you are evil. Now, why did they say that? They had an evil eye. They had a dead heart. They were blind. They were blinded by sin. Blinded and dead in sin. You see, unless the Lord is pleased to give us sight, to give us light, to give us light, He must do so by His command, His power, His will. We read just a moment ago, don't turn, let me just read it to you once again. You remember? We read it in the beginning in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, goes all the way back to the creation, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the same way God commanded the light to shine in the original creation is the same way God must command the light to shine when He makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Mark it down. He must call us out of darkness and make His light to shine within us. Now, the Apostle Peter put it this way. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. 1 Peter 2:9, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, the only reason that we have a single eye, not an evil eye, is because He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Peter put it that way. And then Paul said this in Colossians 1, verse 13. Give me thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, who did that? How do you get out of the kingdom of darkness and translate it into the kingdom of righteousness and light? Life. Not by the will of man, not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, sadly, men, by nature, because of their sin, they love darkness rather than the light of truth revealed in the gospel. Now, I've seen this, and you have too. Our Lord said this in John 3:19. This is condemnation. Light is come into the world. Now, that's Christ, isn't it? He is the light. Light is coming into this world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. John 3:19. Neither cometh to the light. Left alone, we'll never see Christ as all of salvation. Never. Because we're blind. By nature, we have an evil eye. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. Now, the carnal mind. Let's turn and read that. I quote it all the time, but let's see if we can find it. Romans chapter 8. Turn there. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. The carnal mind is enmity against God. You see that? Doesn't say the carnal mind is at enmity. The carnal mind is enmity against God. What is enmity? Deep-seated, deep-rooted hatred. Look the word up. Against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. By the deeds of the flesh shall no man be justified. The carnal mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. Now, there's another reference. You can turn with me if you want to. You don't have to. I'll read it to you. But Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, if you want to make note of this. It says in verse 17, Ephesians 3, we'll begin there. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. See, all we have by nature is an evil eye. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, the reference there on the word blindness is also rendered because of the hardness of their heart. You see, by nature what we are, blind and dead, and will never see the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ unless God does something for us and in us. He must turn the light on. He must shine in our heart and give us a single eye. A single eye always looks to Christ for all of salvation. Now, here's the second thing I want us to look at in verse 34 and verse 36. We'll put these two verses together. Verse 34 and verse 36. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single or fixed, the whole body also is full of light, full of Christ, Christ in you. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Now, verse 36. If the whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. As when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Now, simple illustration. The light of the body is the eye. Everything that this mind sees physically, naturally, everything this eye sees and is reflected in my mind comes through the eye gate, doesn't it? That comes through the ear gate. Comes through the eye gate. The light of the body is the eye. Light enters into our body through this eye, this marvelous thing. It's a marvelous creation of God, this eye that we see. It's a glorious thing just to even think about it. I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me. That's a marvel of God's grace. Now, what is true in the physical world is also true in the spiritual world. When you have total darkness, what do you see? Have you ever taken one of those cave tours? When we went on our honeymoon, you wouldn't believe where we went. When we were married 45 years ago, we went on our honeymoon, we went to Mammoth Cave. That's a romantic place. You want to take your wife to Mammoth Cave. And on those cave tours, you remember what they do? They always turn the lights out. They want you to experience what total darkness is. And when they turn the lights out, what do you see? I mean, you see nothing. Your eyes are wide open. But because there's absolutely no light, all you see is darkness, right? All you see is darkness. So, to be enabled to see, you must have light, right? But now, here's the other side of that coin. What if you have all the light in the world and you're blind? You see, you must not only have light, but you must have to have a healthy eye to be enabled to see. If you have all the light shining around you, but you have no ability to see, that is, you're totally blind and you cannot see, although the light be brightly shining. So you must have light and a healthy eye to be enabled to comprehend. What is true there in the physical world is also true in the spiritual world. Christ is that shining light, but we're blind. He must give us eyes to see Him. That's why the Lord said to those disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear." Now, when the eye, spiritual eye, is single, this is the eye that has life. When the spiritual eye is single, that eye is the eye of faith. And it is fixed upon the object of faith, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the whole body is full of light. The whole body, our whole person, is full of light and life. Saving faith always looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's a good example of looking to Christ with a single eye of faith, found in Numbers 21. Remember when the Israelites were in the wilderness and the Lord sent fiery serpents among them and many of the people were bitten and many of the people died? God instructed Moses to make a serpent of brass likened to that fiery serpent and put it up upon a pole. And they were instructed not to inspect the brazen serpent, not to do this or to do that to the brazen serpent, not to touch it, not to feel it. They were to do one thing. You remember what the word was? Look. Look and be healed. Look and be healed. The single eye of faith always looks to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:14, the Lord says this, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever looketh or believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." A single eye, is a clear understanding. A single eye and a clear understanding of the gospel of Christ is the sovereign gift of God. A single eye and a blessed eye come from having a heart and mind fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ only. A single eye and a simple eye of faith sees the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our salvation. All of our salvation. The Lord says this, the hearing ear and the seeing eye are of the Lord. He hath made both of them. Our seeing eye, our ears that hear, the Lord hath made both of them. That's true in the physical sense. We are the creation of God. But also in the spiritual sense, He must give us eyes to see Him. and ears to hear Him. And this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eye. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, a single eye, sees in the Lord Jesus Christ the only reason for these five things. A single eye, that is the eye of faith, sees the Lord Jesus Christ as the only remedy, the only reason for, number one, what is the reason for forgiveness of sin? A single eye, an eye of faith, looks to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for all the forgiveness of our sin. Your sin are forgiven for His sake, John said. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. The only reason, secondly, the only reason for our salvation, a single eye, the eye that's fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that single eye, that blessed eye, sees the only reason for salvation is in Christ alone. In Christ alone. Now, it's not Christ and. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Christ and is an evil eye. Christ only, a single eye, sees the only reason for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That is, He purposed it, He accomplished it, He applies it, He sustains us, He keeps us by His grace. Thirdly, a single eye, that is the eye of faith, this blessed of God, sees the only reason for righteousness. You've heard these things before, haven't you? The only reason for righteousness is found, you see, a single eye sees all of righteousness fulfilled and freely given to you in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Lord our righteousness. You see that, don't you? That's what a seeing eye sees. You see, this hand and this hand and this mind and these feet, all they produce is sin. That's right. Everything I think, do, or say is full of S-I-N. The only righteousness we have is Christ. Never mistake morality for righteousness. Now, I'm all for morality. I'd be a fool if I didn't say so. But morality is not righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. You see that? A single eye and a blessed eye sees the Lord Jesus Christ as all of our righteousness. That's why Paul said, I count everything else lost, dung, and ruin, that I may win Christ and be found in Him who is my righteousness. Fourthly, a single eye, the eye that's blessed of God, sees the only reason for election and acceptance with God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all gets back to Him, doesn't it? We are accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Fifthly, the only reason for our hope and comfort is the Lord Jesus Christ alone. We have a good hope through grace. Right? A good hope through grace alone. Now, Paul didn't fear many things, but he did fear this. We read it a moment ago. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity, and that word can be also translated, the singleness that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, saving faith has a fixed eye upon Christ. Saving faith sees all of salvation in Christ and accomplished by Him. Now, if you see salvation somewhere else, you don't have a single eye. You have the reverse of that, and that is the evil eye. Now, verse 34 and verse 35, the second part, the whole body is also full of light. But now, when thy eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Darkness. Take heed, verse 35, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Now, when the eye is evil, the whole body is full of darkness. Full of darkness. Now, how can I, You know, I sit in my study and I think about these things, and I ask myself these questions. How can men turn light into darkness? By covering up the light. By covering up the light. By false doctrines and false ideas. How can men turn light into darkness? Truth into lies. By covering up the light. By false doctrine and false ideas. Is that not so? Now, we've all went through this right here I'm going to talk about right now. Recently, we had that solar eclipse, right? August 21st. What was that? 3 weeks ago. Almost 3 weeks ago. We had that solar eclipse on August 21st. Now, I'm going to remember that day distinctly because we were driving across Arkansas when that eclipse started to occur. And right in that area was almost that zone for the full eclipse. And we pulled into a parking lot, into a grocery store. And I took my, when I left the house, Freddie, I took my lens out of my welding helmet. So when that eclipse occurred, I didn't want to look at it with just the plain eye. So I held my welding glass up there and I watched that eclipse. And then you had people in the parking lot. They were all getting excited and they were all looking up there. And it was a big doings. It was a big doing. There's some places where that eclipse came across and it was a full eclipse. Some little towns out west, there was hundreds of thousands of people went to those little towns from everywhere, all over, just to see that eclipse. As you stop and look at it, you see the moon coming in front of the sun, and it blots out, not totally, but it blots out the sun. Now, so much so that as we were driving down the road, we could take our sunglasses off, even though it was a blue sky. And it just looked eerie and hazy. It may not have been that way here, but it was where we were at there in Arkansas. Now here's what I'm thinking about. Now, preacher, you're going out on a limb. But now listen to me. Spiritually speaking, we see this happening all the time in religious circles. False preachers, like the moon, trying to cover up the sun. They cover up the sun. When they try to cover up the sun of righteousness by adding something of human merit, human value to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's like an eclipse of the moon trying to cover up the sun. False preachers have their own version of what I call the solar eclipse or eclipse preaching. That's the new term. You can quote me on that. Eclipse preaching. Like the moon, they try to cover up the sun. Now, here's the problem. Here's what they do. They make the blessed atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ for sin only effectual by adding their merit or their faith to it. In other words, they say, the eclipse preacher would say this, the Lord Jesus Christ died for all of the sins of all men, and He made salvation a possibility. If you add something to it to make it effectual for you. Now that's eclipse preaching. That's not true preaching. They tried to eclipse and cover up the beauty and glory of the Son of Righteousness who made effectual atonement for the sin of His covenant people, and they cannot perish because He accomplished their salvation. Secondly, the eclipse preacher, the false preacher, they make his salvation for sinners only effectual by adding their obedience to it. Right? They say, well, God's done all He can do. Poor God, He's done all He can do. Now, the rest is really up to you. That's eclipse preaching. They try to cover up the truth by the moon of their lies. You see what I'm trying to say? They make His salvation for sinners only effectual by adding their obedience to it. And we know this, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved me. So He saved His people. Thirdly, I could go on and on with this, but I know I don't want to wear you out. The false preacher would make the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ only effectual by adding their doing or their works or their merit to it. Now, anytime you add something to Christ to make salvation complete, that's an evil eye, not a single eye. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I hope you do. Now, here's a strong warning for us. Two things, I'll let you go. Here's a strong warning for us, verse 35. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee is not darkness. Now, I want nothing to do, I mean absolutely nothing to do with that gospel that's a false gospel that does not give the Lord Jesus Christ all the honor and glory for salvation alone. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not the darkness of a false gospel. The apostle put it this way in Galatians chapter 1. Turn there and let us read this one more time. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians 1, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Galatians 1, 6. You got it? Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, how would you pervert the gospel of Christ? Try to eclipse the sun by holding forth the moon of man's doing, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we or an angel preach from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. What did Paul preach? Look at verse 3 and 5 of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Preach anything else than that? You've perverted the gospel, and you've believed another gospel. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Now that's a strong word. Let him be damned. It's a serious thing to believe something other than the truth of the gospel. Now, here's a blessed promise. Verse 36, if the whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of the candle doth give thee light. A blessed promise from God who cannot lie. Christ is all and in all. He is all of our salvation.